Oh, Bertha Jones was a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. During that experience, she saw God and asked if this was the end of the road for her. God said no and explained that she had another 30 years to live. So upon recovery, she figured if she had 30 more years to live, she might as well stay in the hospital and have plastic surgery, as well as a facelift, a liposuction, hair transplant, hair coloring, the whole works. After her hospital stay, she walked out the front door and was run over by a delivery truck. When she arrived in front of God, she asked, "Although you said I had another 30 years left." God replied, "Sorry, Bertha, I didn't recognize you." Well, of course, that could never happen because God always recognizes us. And why is that? It's because we're made in His image and likeness. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That you and I, each one of us, is made in the image and likeness of God. So God will always recognize us. We are His creation. We are His sons and daughters. And it is, of course, Respect Life Sunday. The first Sunday in October is always Respect Life Sunday, in which we think about the dignity of each and every human person, from the unborn babe to the handicapped to the elderly. We think of the dignity of each person because we are truly made in God's image and likeness. We have the ability to know and to love. God has given us a mind. He's given us a will. We have the immortal soul that will last forever. Even after our body dies and goes back to the dust from which it came, we are immortal. We will live forever. And when we think about Respect Life Sunday, we think of some of the great defenders of the sanctity of human life we've had in recent years. Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, who would pick people up out of the gutter in Calcutta and see the image of God in each one of these poor souls. We think of John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, and his amazing, beautiful document called The Gospel of Life. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read this amazing encyclical that he wrote before his death called The Gospel of Life. And in that document, he says that we need to bring about what's called, he says, the culture of life, because death is all around us. We just have to read the papers and we see horrific things happening throughout the world. And life is under attack in every stage. We think of the growing movement for assisted suicide in our country, euthanasia. We read accounts of in the inner cities of homicides. We read accounts over in the Middle East of and other parts of the world of the persecution of Christians. And we hear accounts of genocide in many nations. And so life is under attack at every stage. And of course, the most defenseless are the unborn babies that we try to save. And we think, of course, of the number of children that we lose each and every day in our own country. As much as 4,000 babies each day are lost through abortion, 1.5 million per year. I've had the opportunity to go in Jerusalem to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem on a few occasions, and I've been to the Holocaust Museum here in Washington, D.C. I was just there a few days ago and spent the afternoon there. And I'm sure all of you have been to the Holocaust Museum, and we think, how could we have let this happen? How could the world have let this happen? 6 million Jews, just killed in this genocide. And of course, there are many Christians that were killed as well, Catholic priests. If you go to the Holocaust Museum, you'll see accounts of Catholic priests that were killed as well. But as I was, praying in the beautiful meditation chapel that they have there, I was reading the quotes from sacred scripture, very powerful quotes, from Deuteronomy, and where God says, I set before you a choice, either life or death. And the Bible says, choose life. So God is pro-life. God is is in favor of us choosing life. And we think of course, that the modern Holocaust still goes on. One of the quotations that I took a picture of at the Holocaust Museum was a quotation from a Lutheran minister. And this Lutheran minister, Martin Niemöller, who was born in 1892 and died in 1984, says he was a Lutheran minister and an early Nazi supporter, but who was later imprisoned for opposing Hitler's regime. And I'm sure you've heard this quote. "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, but I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." And it's a very powerful quote. And so when we think of that, we think, well, who is speaking out now for the unborn babies? And of course, we need to protect them in every way we can. Well, the most powerful way, of course, is prayer and fasting. Jesus says that that's the only thing that will convert certain people, certain souls, is prayer and fasting. So we need to pray, we need to fast. And this week we have begun the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. In Washington, D.C., at the National Shrine, they'll have many events and big masses and holy hours this coming week at the Shrine as we try to pray for our nation, pray for our country, to pray for upcoming elections, to pray for the conversion of nurses and doctors and politicians and anyone who is not pro-life, because we need to respect the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And so there are many ways that we can do this. I believe praying the rosary is one of the most powerful pro-life prayers, because in the rosary, we are meditating upon the life of Christ, and we're saying that beautiful prayer, the Hail Mary, 50 times. And notice that is such a pro-life prayer. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Blessed is the fruit of the womb. The fruit of the womb is sacred, it's holy, it's precious, it's made in God's image and likeness. It's not a burden, it's not a curse, it is a blessing. The Bible says, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." When St. Dominic was preaching throughout France, there was the Albigensian heresy. This heresy was a very anti-life heresy. Our Lady appeared to him and said, "Preach the rosary." And he did, and that converted tens of thousands of people back to true Christianity, back to their Catholic faith, all by preaching the power of the rosary. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." We can also support wonderful organizations like Birthright and other pro-life pregnancy counseling centers. We can promote homes for unwed mothers and places where they support women that have chosen to keep their children or to place them in adoption with loving families. There's so many ways that we can even very easily support the sanctity of human life. We can get the Choose Life license plates. That's very easy to do. And we can have a very positive pro-life bumper sticker on our car just to spread the gospel of life in the midst of the death that is all around us. We have the March for Life coming up in January, a great opportunity for us to stand up and speak up for the unborn, especially during the Holocaust, which we are going through now in our country and throughout the world. And so, even though we do live in the midst of many challenging situations on a world level and on a local level, we can realize that the answer, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother, the power of prayer, the power of fasting, the importance of the Holy Rosary, and doing what we can to live out the call of Pope Francis, the call of Pope Benedict, and St. John Paul II, to really respect the dignity of each and every human life, from the moment of conception until natural death. Because God will always recognize us, because we are made, each one of us, in the image and likeness of God.